I like to drink a solid cup of coffee. But there are a lot of people out there who enjoy a solid cup of something that's a little stronger than coffee. Let's talk about that. Trigger warning. This is Caffeinated Christianity. Telling you what, man. Had some massive pollen swing through the area, and I'm telling you what, it has been tearing me up this week, man. Pollen 1, Cooper 0, but I'm getting over it. It's pretty much now just all in my nose at this point, so it sounds worse than it really is. I sound like I'm
about to dive into the pool.
But besides that, man, I'm feeling personally like $1 million other than that. So, you know, honestly, you're going to hear me sniffle, but just disregard it. If it's irritating, I apologize. Anyways, welcome to the next episode of Caffeinated Christianity, where the coffee is black and the opinions are unqualified. And today is perhaps the most unqualified opinion I've ever given. Because today is going to... Anyways, we'll get to that in just a second. What are we talking about today, Cooper? Today we're going to be talking about, you guessed it, alcohol. And the use of alcohol as a Christian. This is all, you know what, I'll just get to that in a second. Verse of the episode, of course, as you know, if you've been following the culture series at all, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God, woman of God, person of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Let me go ahead and just lay out a couple of preliminary points, okay? This is all based on research that I've done myself. This is coming from someone who has never had alcohol, has never really desired ever to drink alcohol. Among the plenty of other, you know, terrible, sinful things I've chosen to do with my time, drinking is not one of them. I don't claim to know anything about alcohol. I had to ask someone the other day what some type of drink they named was. Never heard of it. Thought it was an energy drink. I'm telling you, my opinion, based on the evidence that I have researched, and so this is where I stand on the issue of alcohol. This is where Cooper stands on the issue of alcohol. What I'm attempting to do is to take Bible verses and back my position. But what I'm telling you is that I'm not speaking for any denomination here. I'm not speaking for even my family. I'm speaking for Cooper Short, okay? This is Cooper Short's opinion. And so if you disagree with this, that's totally cool. I'm not aiming to be, you know, John MacArthur over here. I'm also 20 years old. Will this research change eventually? Probably. Will my view change? I have no idea. This is my view today, April 10th, 2019. The reason alcohol needs to be talked about is because A, it's super prevalent, and B, as I noticed in college, it's like running people's lives already. We're not even graduated yet, and we've got people that are legitimate alcoholics. And I'm going to get to why we're even talking about this in just a minute as I go through the content. So let's go ahead and dive into this, okay? Because I've given you all the disclaimers, so if you want to shut it off, you'd be best to shut it off now because we're about to get into something a little dicey territory, okay? Because I got to be honest with you, I was actually intimidated to even do this podcast because I know who listens to this, and I know people whom I respect that listen to this, that are spiritual thought leaders in my life. And I'm not going to completely disagree with them when I go through this, but I'm going to disagree with them on some part. And so, you know, I really don't want to burn any bridges with this podcast, but this is where I stand, given the biblical research that I've done. And so anyways, without further ado, with all this dramatic intro, let's make like a good swimmer and dive into this bad boy. Okay, let me go ahead and lay these two points out. First, I will be totally honest with you. For those of you that don't know the Word of God very well, or those of you that only know it a little bit, nowhere in the Bible does the verse appear that says, thou shalt not drink alcohol, or you should not drink alcohol, or do not drink alcohol. That verse does not exist. That verse exists in context, but that's not the only thing that exists. There are things that talk about, do not get drunk with wine, for that leads to debauchery, Ephesians 5:18. There are verses that say, do not get drunk or do not drink blank because of, or, you know, during the time of, or da da da. But there is no sentence that starts with, you shall not, and ends with, drink alcohol, period. that sentence does not exist. That's point number one. Point number two is the classic, well, biblical wine was really grape juice. Well, sometimes it was and sometimes it wasn't. Let's look at the facts on the ground. Water at the time was unsanitary and there was no way to sanitize it. So what's the easier choice? To drink something that was made from fruit and potentially may or may not have fermented depending on how long it had been in the barrel? Or dirty water from the Jordan River that people have been like sacrificing animals in? I think I'm going to pick the grape juice. I've heard even my pastor say that often it was diluted 40 to 1. There are lots of cases where that's true, where it was 40 to 1 water to wine. So, you know, in order to get drunk off of it, I mean, my goodness, you would have to drink like a ridiculous amount of it to even get drunk, which I think more falls on the line of the sin of gluttony than it does alcoholism. But here's what I've seen in my own research. There's no conclusive hardline stance that every time we see the word Bible in the wine, I almost said every time we see the word Bible in the wine, every time we see the word wine in the Bible, there's nothing to 100% say that this use of the word here is good and this use of the word here is bad. There are a couple that legitimately reference strong alcoholic drink, and there are a couple that legitimately reference essentially what is grape juice, but those words can be used interchanged. I'm just telling you, from what I've seen, there is no conclusive evidence that biblical wine is the same thing every time someone drinks it in the Bible. That's what I'm telling you, okay? So point number one is that the Bible does not say you shall not drink alcohol, period. It also, or point number two, is that the evidence on what biblical wine truly is, in my view, is not conclusive across the board. It's conclusive definitely in certain contexts. There are certain contexts where we can make the call and say, yes, this is strong alcoholic. Yes, this is grape juice, whatever. But it's not the same from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Those are the two points we need to start out with because that's going to tailor what I'm about to tell you. So let me give you my official stance, really without using Bible verses, and then we're going to get into this, plethora of Bible verses that I have for you here that back up my stance. The Bible does not say, thou shalt not drink alcohol. Does not say that. I will concede to that point. In my view, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, you should not partake of alcohol at all for these two reasons. Three reasons, actually. One, it's because it's one of the staples of worldly culture, and for you to set yourselves apart, it would look even more, I guess, holy and righteous and set apart if you chose not to drink. Point number one. Point number two is because you don't know people's past with alcohol or their present with alcohol or what alcohol's done in their life, because alcohol can be a very vile thing. And so in order not to cause pain for another person, especially another brother in Christ, or someone who looks to my faith as a witness, no matter how imperfect I may be, I will not choose to make them stumble by choosing to consume alcohol. That's point number two. Point number three is I can't think of really any circumstance where drinking alcohol actually reflects Christ. I can't think of one example, and I've thought about this a long time. Can't think of one example where you drinking alcohol would benefit the kingdom. Where you can honestly say, my drinking this beer, my drinking this glass of wine will share the gospel. That's my litmus test for a lot of things. And now, Cooper, you know, an objection I've heard to that point right there. Well, Cooper, you can say that about a lot of things, and you can. And I'm working on knocking those out. But you know what's really easy to do? Not drink alcohol. You know what's even harder to do? Is not be negative and not complain. So definitely, I'm trying to knock these things out one at a time. There are lots of things that don't reflect Christ and don't share the gospel. Alcohol is a very easy thing not to do in order to maintain your witness. It's just kind of like I said about cussing. The easiest thing about cussing is just to not do it. So anyways, let's get into this. Let me give you these Bible verses that kind of back up what I'm saying. Let me make this very clear stance. If you don't hear anything I say for the rest of the podcast, or you're going to turn it off soon because you're tired of this, please listen to this point. Getting drunk is, in fact, a sin. That is in numerous places in the Bible. Drunkenness is a sin. And here's the thing. Here's my view. I think getting a buzz is a sin because the Bible doesn't have the term getting a buzz. I think anything putting you out of your frame of mind, even in the slightest, is drunkenness. I call that sinful. Cooper, where do you get this stance from? Proverbs 23:29-35. Proverbs 21:20-1. Wine is a mocker, beer is a brawler, or really the Hebrew there is strong drink is a brawler, and anyone who is led astray by them is unwise. Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk off wine, for that leads to debauchery. And then Hosea 4:11 also speaks to this. And there are plenty of other verses. These are just the most potent ones and the ones that I like to use. Those verses speak to the fact that getting drunk is a sin. That's an unequivocal truth. that never changes. Getting drunk is a sin. In my view, getting a buzz is a sin. Okay? Being out of your frame of mind, not being sober-minded, to me, is a sin. And I will, that's ultimately a hill that I'm willing to die on, personally. So that's the first point. Getting drunk is a sin. Here are three other kind of secondary points, and one of these I spoke on just a second ago. Romans 14, 20 through 21 tells us never to do something, you know, it's really in referencing food and drink, but we should never do something that causes another brother in Christ to stumble in sin. I heard my own home pastor, whom I revere totally, say this at church one time. He said, you know, probably the number one reason I personally don't drink alcohol is because I lead a congregation of people. And if I had a member of my congregation who struggled with alcohol and they saw me drink, he said, I feel like that would give them the green light to drink and basically engage in their addiction. I'm personally not going to do that. I would never do something to cause another person to stumble. My drinking, you know, Sprite is not going to cause another brother to stumble unless, of course, you know, he's addicted to, you know, LeBron James or something. Some of you, that joke went over your head. I would never do something that would cause another person to stumble or cause another person to think anything less of my witness in Christ. That's why. Deuteronomy 29, God decreed the Israelites to engage in abstinence of the drinking of wine in order to grow spiritually. I think they were probably idolizing it at this point, and wine, depending on its fermentation, you drink a little bit, you drink a lot of it. Either way, it seems to me like they were abusing the privilege. So God's like, listen, if you guys want to be mature, I guess at the time, Israelites, you need to back off this stuff a little bit. Here's probably the key to my entire, honestly, to this entire podcast. James 4:17 says, for if anyone knows what is good and does not do it, for him, it is sin. I know in my spirit and I know in my heart that for me to drink alcohol would be sinful because my dad's family has been ravaged by alcohol. I've seen people I care about be ravaged by alcohol, and there is no way, in no circumstance, I feel like where I could drink alcohol and then also immediately share the gospel in conversation. I feel like it would damage my witness. To me, it is not good to drink alcohol, and that's my spiritual conviction. So for me to partake of it, for me, for Cooper, would be sinful. I feel like that should be the case for all Christians, but that's where I stand, James 4:17. Here's another point. We need to act different from the world because we are different, we being Christians. Romans 12:2, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing the Spirit you may know what is the perfect, acceptable, and pleasing will of God. Colossians 3:1-3, Galatians 2:20, Romans 6:5-6, the old you has died. The old you that is mastered by things that are substances and mastered by things that are sexual and unrighteous is gone if you're a Christian. We're supposed to act different. Deuteronomy 14:2, you are special. You are chosen by Christ. Leviticus 20:26, God has separated those of us that are saved. We are set apart. Matthew 5:29-30. It's better to just lose worldly things than it is to lose your holiness. I mean, let's be honest. I'm going to make this point again in just a minute because this is something that I harp on every time I talk about alcohol. Is it really killing you not to drink? Like, is it really that big a deal? Like, because if it's really going to kill you to give something up, then you're being mastered by it, and that's a sin in and of itself. You know? Anyways, we'll get back to that in a second. That's pretty much the gist of the point there. We need to act different because we are different. We're set apart. We're Christians. Here's another point. God will take care of us even when it's hard to face the crowd. A classic answer was, well, you know, I just feel peer pressure. Well, maybe that's the case. But dadgummit, find some new friends. Philippians 4:19, God will take care of you in every situation. But if you don't trust in him, then he's not going to take care of you. If you're automatically walking into this and thinking, man, I'm weak, they're going to come for me, then dude, you've already lost. Matthew 28:20. Jesus said, I am with you always until the end of the age. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, okay? Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. Psalm 9:10. Matthew 6, especially 33-34. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the things of the present. God's got them handled. God will take care of us even when it's hard to face the crowd. But if you're not trusting in him, he doesn't have your back because you're doubting. Don't doubt him. Go into this. I mean, honestly, my advice would be to find new friends. But even if you can't, and you're facing peer pressure, cling to God in those moments. Pray to the Lord for strength. Ask to grow stronger in your conviction and stronger in your witness, man. Come on. That's what Christianity is. John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I know there's no commandment that says thou shalt not drink alcohol, but there are plenty of commandments about honoring the Lord with your actions. There are definitely plenty of commandments about sharing the gospel. And I don't see a situation where you can share the gospel in the midst of drinking alcohol. I don't see it. Find me a situation and we can talk. But I haven't seen one yet, and I've thought about it a lot. And to go on to my next point, if you're having trouble with the crowd, if you're having trouble with peer pressure, find people who will encourage you to live the right lifestyle. Psalm 133:1, unity is fantastic. Find people who are of one mind and of one spirit with you. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, friends are a must. Two are better than one, this passage says. Teamwork makes the dream work. Vertically, it's always teamwork. It's you and God. But horizontally, God's calling you to community. Hebrews 10:24-25, like, find a group that will hold you down. Because I've got a group that'll hold me now. And it's awesome. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. Accountability partners. I understand that some people struggle with peer pressure. Some people struggle with alcohol. It's hard to fight battles alone. But no one can help you if we don't know you're fighting a battle. The Bible calls us to bear one another's burdens as Christians. So we must. So let's recap that really quick, because that was a lot, and I always talk really fast. Point number one, drunkenness is unequivocally a sin. In my view, getting a buzz is a sin. You can reference Proverbs 23:29-35 for that one. Here's another point. Never do something that will cause another person to stumble in their sin. Here's another point. We are to act different because we are different. You know what looks super different, especially in a college situation? Not drinking alcohol. Because literally, it feels like every single person I know ever that's in college drinks alcohol. Here's the next point. If you're worried about peer pressure, God will take care of you even when it's hard to face the crowd. And if you're having trouble with the crowd, find a different crowd. Here's the last couple things I'm going to wrap up, because I feel like these are probably the two most common, rebuttals. There we go, the two common rebuttals to what I say. Actually, you know, there's two on here. I'm going to add a third one at the end because I have a personal story. The first one is, you say, Cooper, there are verses that talk about wine in a good way. I agree with that. But let me give you two things. One's a verse. One's a what I feel is a logical point. In my view, from what I've read, when the Bible is talking about wine in a positive light, at least in what I've seen, and I obviously don't know the entire Bible, in what I've seen, it looks like it's always referencing it as part of like, it's referencing wine in terms of having a supply. Instead of saying, what is it, Psalm 4:6. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their wine and grain abound. And let me double check that so I'm not just spitting heresies on my podcast. Psalm 4:7. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. That to me is not glorifying wine, is glorifying supply, it's glorifying prosperity. That's what I've seen. Also, let me give you a verse. 1 Corinthians 10:23-24. And I'm going to have to flip back because I only know part of that verse and not the entire thing. 1 Corinthians 10:23-24. Quote, all things are lawful, unquote, but not all things are helpful, Paul says. Quote, all things are lawful, end quote, but not all things build up, Paul says. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Sure, you could say, well, the Bible doesn't actually say that. Well, that doesn't just give you free rein to just go do it. The Bible doesn't say, hey, don't run your car through a stop sign and knock it over. But we all know that you shouldn't do that because it's breaking the law, which the Bible says you should not do. And so really, it's all kind of a wash. In a roundabout way, the Bible always says it. The Bible can answer all of your questions. First rebuttal, Cooper, there are verses that talk about wine in a good way. That doesn't mean that you should just go start slamming, you know, natty lights. That's not what that means. Second rebuttal, was Cooper, Jesus drank wine? He did. I don't necessarily see conclusive evidence that the wine was fermented. There's no conclusive evidence to suggest that the wine was fermented. Because I saw an interesting point the other day. I was reading this in an article from, I can't even remember, maybe Christianity Today. Can't remember. Doesn't matter. They were talking about the Last Supper. Well, Jesus drank wine at the Last Supper, didn't he? Yeah. Well, here's why I think the wine at the Last Supper wasn't fermented. Because the bread wasn't fermented. The bread was unleavened bread. So why would there be, quote unquote, leavened wine? That's just what I was thinking. Maybe that's scientifically incorrect. Maybe wine can't be, I don't know. If that was wrong, shoot me a line, whatever. Jesus drank wine. He did. I don't necessarily see conclusive evidence that the wine was fermented. I don't see any evidence that the wine that Jesus drank was fermented. None. Zero. Here's a third rebuttal that I get about all of my stances in the Bible, really. Cooper, you got that from the Old Testament. The Old Testament's outdated. You know, the Old Testament also says, you know, you're not supposed to shave and eat shrimp. Well, let me give as quick a rebuttal to that as I can give you. Mosaic law, which we find in the books of Leviticus, Exodus and Numbers, mostly in Leviticus, are separated into three categories. There are civil, there are ceremonial, and there are moral, okay? The civil laws are how the Israelites basically run their community, okay? It's like their constitution. Ceremonial laws are how you deal with sacrifice, how you deal with being a priest, all the things that go with essentially the temple, the tabernacle, what have you. Then there are moral laws. Moral laws transcend the first century to the 21st century. Cooper, why is that? One, because a lot of those laws are reiterated in the New Testament. Homosexuality, Leviticus 18:22, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just to give you a quick example. Okay? There are things in Leviticus that we can toss out. I do recognize that because Jesus fulfilled the sacrifice needed for some of those things, now making them clean again. But here's the bottom line. We can't throw out the Old Testament because a couple things have just changed over time. Because the essence of Levitical law applies to the 21st century Christian. Perhaps the details don't, but that's another podcast for another time. All I'm telling you is that you can't just blow off the Old Testament. And also, the New Testament talks about this, so that's not even a good rebuttal. Anything that is a clear abomination is pretty much all over the Bible. You're not going to find it like in one place, because the Bible is a gigantic interwoven story, 40 plus authors, 1,500 years, three continents, and it all tells the same story. 100% continuity. But that's an old podcast. If you haven't heard that one, then you're just going to have to go back in time and check that one out. So that's pretty much it. My view is that if you're going to call yourself a Christian, there's no reason why you should drink alcohol. There's none. Zero. Just like cussing. Doesn't reflect Christ. That should be your litmus test for everything. You should do something, and before you're about to do it, you should say, wow, does this reflect Christ? Or, wow, can I share the gospel doing this? And if you can't, then chances are you probably shouldn't do it. There are plenty of activities that are neutral. Writing a paper, neutral. Running at practice, neutral. But things that have such a heavy social connotation on them, or heavy social emphasis is such a connotation on them, cussing, drinking alcohol, you know, basically anything that could go either way, stay away. I mean, why affect your witness? I choose to live the life I live because I try and reflect Christ in all that I do. I've failed at that my entire life. I'll continue to fail at it. But there are certain things, there are about five things in this world that I think are non-negotiables. I think if you're going to call yourself a Christian, they're non-negotiables and you shouldn't partake. Cussing and alcohol are two of them. We'll talk about some more later. And so with that, I wrap up the end of this podcast. On the next episode, we're going to be talking about something else that has to do with the culture. I'm going to say it's probably going to be music. I'm working on that. I also like to give a pretty exciting announcement. The podcast is now on Spotify. So if you listen on Spotify or you know someone who listens on Spotify because they're weird and don't have Apple Music, no offense, Spotify users, then we're now on Spotify. Your CHH song of the episode is 2018 by No Big Deal. It's a banger. Solid lyrics, solid song. He's my favorite artist. He's supposed to be dropping something pretty soon, it looks like. So I'm pretty excited about it. So with that, I say thanks for tuning in. Of course, I'll reimburse you for the brain cells. Follow us on Twitter at Calf Christ and Instagram at Calf Christ. Check out our website. We're now on Spotify. It's pretty simple. Know Christ, reflect Christ. John 1:5, hate sin, love sinners. Stay away from the booze. And remember, dog, you got nothing to worry about. The battle is already won. Audi.